we go. The Friday edition, Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gerber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio here as well. Producer Tiny Hands Hunter Vaughn is back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Lots to get into today, including some reaction of what has happened over the course of the last 52 or so hours. And of course, some rumors as we are in that part of the NFL offseason, which is where we will begin. But before we get there, Joshy, hello, happy Friday.
Hi, Stroff. Do you think we, as people, clap too much?
Yes, I do. Did you just witness the company-wide meeting that we were having right now? Yeah.
Company-wide meeting, and there was like six applause breaks.
So here's the thing about clapping, specifically in this office. So as many know, I spent the first 3.5 years of my career in Madison. Ironically enough, I was hired to replace Josh, who had moved to Milwaukee, and in Madison. And we had a much smaller office there, right? Like, I think at peak time, we had 12 full-time employees in Madison. So company meetings were much smaller than they are in Milwaukee. We have three radio stations here. Our headquarters are here. I mean, we have probably, what would you say, Josh, about 120 full-time employees in this building?
I think on any given day, there's probably 100 people that come through the doors.
Okay. So we had a company-wide meeting just a bit earlier. And yeah, we clap a lot. But here's the other part of this is Maddie Hayes, who's been on the show. She's in charge of our social media at ESPN Milwaukee, was previously at ESPN Madison with me. When she moved to Milwaukee, for whatever reason, she thought it was a good thing. When somebody left, or somebody leaves the office for the day, she starts clapping. You're usually not around this late when this begins happening, because you are here much earlier than everybody else while producing the morning show. So when anybody leaves at 4:30, 5 o'clock, 5:30, whatever, and Maddie is still here and sitting upstairs at her desk, she begins clapping. And other employees who joined after Maddie, we have young, impressionable, like fresh out of college employees. So I think they just believe that that is the standard. So seven people will just start clapping when you're going home, and it is incredibly uncomfortable every single time.
Yeah, I'd hate that.
So
hate
we have this. A clapping issue.
I'd go to HR on that.
I don't know that HR can do much about
make it stop.
Yeah,
you can for sure go to HR with, I'm being embarrassed and they're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Especially you spin
well
it as like, I'm trying to leave work and they're like drawing attention to it. As if like, oh, great job. And like, you could definitely spin that and get HR involved. I would be doing that after the second
that
time that happens.
I don't know that anybody's going to go to that length.
If it happens to me, I will.
Yeah, if I was there, I'd do it. Yep.
I hate clapping.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I understand if you're at a sporting event, a concert, where the performer is there live in front of you.
Yeah.
But the clapping of landing planes.
Oh, I hate that.
Clapping in situation at a movies at the after a movie ends. Who are we clapping
for?
Hold on.
That one is a little tricky.
No,
because I think if you're going to a very highly anticipated movie the night of the release, now this is the only time I would allow it, right? So let's say you're going Thursday night, 10:30 showing. It's the first showing for a Marvel movie, or if Star Wars is to come out with something else.
No clapping, unless George Lucas is, or J.J. Abrams or whoever's directing it is there, or an actor.
In the flesh, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, because I was going to ask that, because like I went to UW Oshkosh, radio, TV, film major, and like I went to student film showings.
Well,
and
that's
like
different.
I wanted to make sure, because like they're still movies, so I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I think if somebody's... If a participant is there and you're all there with that understanding, perfectly normal.
Yeah.
Because that is a piece of work and they are there to, you know, enjoy the fruits of their labor by a little round of applause. I think that's fine. And I would never tell, I mean, there is, you can be a too aggressive clapper if you're at a sporting event. Like, we've all been around that person where it's like, okay, we don't need to clap the entire time. But clapping for... great things happening, a bucket gets scored, a home run gets hit, go nuts, strike out, nice play in the field, all that.
I'm good with all that.
I would never think twice.
Okay, fair enough.
It's just sitting around in our office and clapping, kind of weird to me.
Okay, I think I tend to agree with that. I'm good with that take. Jalen on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat says, Strofinator. Yeah, that's how people are treating me the last couple days. Joseph S. on ESPN Madison's YouTube says, Jesse Nelson got high praise from a caller near the end of Wilde and Tausch today, and I loved it. Did Hunter see that? I saw it. Joshy saw it. I know Joshy and I both texted Wilde and Tausch directly and said, this is a paid actor. Josh, I don't remember what you said. Something to that.
Says, is she angling for a job?
Yeah.
What's going on here? And I said they had a level of integrity to upkeep instead of spreading lies across the state of Wisconsin.
I mean, this person was saying Jesse's a hard worker.
Funny.
He's funny.
Yeah, I don't think she talked to anyone that he manages. So, yeah, I don't buy any of it. I wasn't there that day either, so I have no idea what actually happened.
Josh, have I told you what happened yesterday, speaking of Jesse Nelson? Not that I should put this business on the street, but I'm going to. I'm going to.
Are you sure this is a good idea?
No.
If you tell me what you're about to tell me, is there a chance this gets brought up to you by somebody else in the company, maybe that is boss? Let's move on.
Yeah, I'm going to put an end to this right now. So DK Metcalf might become a Green Bay backer. What do you think, Strope?
Yeah, we got the tweet. I'm blanking on the guy's name, but it was a Seattle Seahawks reporter from a TV station up in Seattle. He tweeted this earlier today about DK Metcalf saying that...
Corbin K. Smith.
Thank you. Corbin K. Smith tweeting out that the Seahawks are open to moving DK Metcalf, obviously their star wide receiver, who is coming to the end of his contract in the final year of his deal. And then in a thread of tweets, as Hunter will flash this up on the screen, essentially said a team to keep an eye on is the Green Bay Packers, and that they have had discussions about a trade package that would include potentially from Green Bay a young wide receiver to send to Seattle. So, Josh, I saw you have tweeted a little bit about this potential trade being an option for Green Bay as DK Metcalf looking like he is available and the Packers apparently looking into said availability. But you think Romeo Doubs is the guy that makes sense in terms of a young wide receiver that could be a part of this package?
Yeah, I feel like we do need to add the context of Matt Scheinman refuted it. This guy then responded and said, I stand by my reporting. So this has taken, since this broke from our friend Corbin here, a different path. Now, the Packers had been leaked to DK in the past.
They have.
Obviously, Brian Gutekunst and John Schneider have a working relationship of some sort. So I tend to believe there's been communication on it, maybe not a formal trade offer on the table. And I think the Packers might be doing a little covering of their ass, because if young wide receivers here, they're on the trade block, they don't necessarily love that. It can create some issues. But to me, Romeo Doubs makes perfect amount of sense. I would be fine with parting with Dontavian Wicks, just because whatever potential there has not been fully realized yet, I would heavily try and push them towards Doubs, but Wicks doesn't have enough to stand on right now. There's just not enough production there.
That surprises me, though, you're a Dontavian Wicks guy.
I'm extremely high on him, and I think DK, Jayden Reed, and Dontavian Wicks as like a three-way attack makes a lot of sense. Not the same sense that Romeo Doubs replacing him would to me in that situation, but you have to sort of, I mean, making trades, you're giving up stuff you still want. That's part of doing the deal.
Sure,
I know
is.
We all want to give up the guys that we think don't really hold a lot of value, but maybe to someone else type deal. But Romeo Doubs needs a change of scenery. What played out last year, and the way things ended up playing out and figuring out the suspension and what actually was involved with him missing time, all of that. I think a change of scenery makes a lot of sense, because Romeo Doubs can still be a useful wide receiver in the NFL. I don't think the high hopes that the Packers had for him going into the season of them being their leading receiver and kind of the wide receiver one is really his future. But putting him next to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I think that there's plenty to go around there for him to be happy with the situation. And Romeo Doubs isn't coming back as a Packer. So it gives the...
You mean after
his
year?
Contract stuff. Yeah. Like, it gives the Seahawks first bid at...
It does.
Are we going to give this guy a long-term deal or not,
in theory,
instead of just waiting until free agency?
I mean, the market was kind of set earlier this week. Khalil Shakir signing a four-year, $60 million extension with the Buffalo Bills, and that is a guy who has comparable numbers to Romeo Doubs the last several years. Now, Doubs' numbers actually in his career are a little bit better than Shakir's, but this kind of sets a market. So if Doubs was to be traded, Seattle could go ahead and say, hey, that we're going to give you a similar offer, right? 4 years, $60 million, or something in that ballpark. So that actually does make the most sense to me. I'm with you on that, Joshy, because after the incident last year for Doubs, where he effectively didn't show up to work, Mm-hmm. Not the best indication of his happiness in Green Bay. So
right, and that told us he's unhappy there, and the Packers then in reaction told us this marriage is not going to last. Yeah.
Now, obviously, there's also the concussion factor, which Dobbs suffered two of last season. So hopefully he can get back to his normal self if he is back in Green Bay in 2025. But this DK Metcalf proposal is interesting to me because I do think a guy like DK Metcalf gives you a stopgap solution at wide receiver one. He's a little bit younger than Davante Adams, who I know obviously we've talked plenty about the last couple of weeks, and he is a bona fide top receiver. Now, he's not the best in the league. He never was the best in the league, but he's a good receiver, and he's established. He doesn't have drop issues. He's a good receiver.
Plays a lot.
Yes, he does.
Rarely misses games.
Yes, he does. Very durable. I like it. I'd be open to it. I think the Packers are making a good decision here, but I think that then eliminates the idea of a guy like Davante Adams coming into Green Bay. So the question I pose is it bring in DK, BDK, or is it BBD, bring back Davante? Is it Davante or bust still now that this DK Metcalf news has come afloat? Before we get Josh's response and Hunter's response on this, I'll tell you this. I think if DK Metcalf comes into Green Bay, number one, it is an obvious upgrade. And number two, I think it takes away from Davante or bust. While I still very much would like to see the reunion happen and the Packers to go out, whether that is through free agency or through a low compensation trade with the New York Jets, I would love to see them bring back Davante Adams. I think he solves so many issues that this wide receiver group has had, right? He doesn't drop passes. He is a absolute great wide receiver who still has some tread left on the tires. He can still be a true number one option, can Davante Adams be? So that is why I still lean Davante, especially because I think the Jets will ultimately cut him and he will be a free agent. And that way you can still have Romeo Dobbs on this roster with Davante Adams and with Jaden Reed and with Dontavian Wicks. So it is still Davante 1, everybody else 2 for me. But I am open to the idea of if the Packers are to trade for DK Metcalf, I think no, even if you lose a piece like Romeo Dobbs, you do upgrade that position. That is something the Packers desperately need to do this offseason, in my opinion. So open to it, but still in the camp of BBD, Joshy.
I lean towards DK Metcalf.
Really?
And I know Davante Adams throughout his career was better. I think so. DK's on the last year of his contract. So if the Packers were to make this trade, there would be an extension that shortly followed. I think that extension would give you 3 good years, maybe 4, of DK Metcalf in Green Bay. I think Davante is probably a 2-year deal with only 1 really guaranteed for him. I think it fits better with the way Goody wants to operate in terms of youth. Now, DK Metcalf is by no means a spring chicken, but he's not Davante Adams in terms of longevity and time in the league. I like going out and having that established guy that you can rely on for a longer period of time than Davante Adams. Davante Adams, to me, is merely a stopgap, now be it a top-end stopgap.
Top-end, for sure.
But you also have to factor in the Packers, the way they approach it, they view aging players as higher and higher injury risks. I think the Packers have dealt enough with the David Bakhtiari situation, the Jaire Alexander situation, where they're not interested in guys who are going to be missing a lot of time.
Yep.
Josh Jacobs, famously a durable player as well, and younger. To me, I don't know how much different Davante and DK's production would be. And I think DK becomes the wide receiver one and gives them that vertical threat that they're going to be missing for 12 games of the season with Christian Watson out. I don't think there is a skill set other than DK Metcalf that can replace what Christian Watson offers. Christian Watson has never been DK Metcalf. But in terms of stretching the field, using physicality, there are few guys to ever play the game that do it quite like Christian Watson can and provide to the offense the thing that it would be dearly missing starting the season.
I would agree. I am now just reading into this beef between, what was the name of the reporter again? Corbin K. Smith. and Matt Schneidman of The Athletic?
I believe so.
So Matt Schneidman, as you mentioned, tweeted, according to a source, there has been no contact or negotiations as of now between the Packers and Seahawks regarding
the Metcalf trade. I think that as of now there gives you the wiggle room to
say it's still on the table.
Or to leave out there, maybe we're denying this claim even though we've had, let's say, high level or not in detail conversations about moving him.
So Hunter has popped our buddy Andy Herman's tweet on the stream. 9:43 a.m. a source indicated Green Bay had discussions with the Seahawks and have an offer on the table for DK Metcalf. 9:50 a.m. is a confirmation of said report. 10:21, Metcalf isn't going anywhere. 11:17, that was when the Matt Schneidman tweet came out, according to a source, no contact between Packers and Seahawks. And then Andy ends that tweet with, and now we're here. I would just add, at 12:11 p.m., Matt Schneidman tweeted a search of a Google bar that just said Starbucks near me. If you don't know what I'm talking about, stay tuned for what we learned, because it is an all-time story. Beef, like reporter beef. If you haven't heard about this, we will talk about that a bit later in what we learned. All right, I want to get to two things before we get to One Word on a Friday. We didn't do it Wednesday because of our combine. I want to get to Rob Domofsky, who was on Wilde and Tausch this morning discussing the idea of the Packers in free agency. Now, it is very clear, and we've talked plenty about the last couple of weeks since the season ended, the Packers have several needs they need to address. In my opinion, if Jair Alexander's not on this team next year, which it sounds like as we talked about Wednesday, he's either going to get traded or be designated as a post-June 1st cut. He won't be on the Packers in 2025. So corner is looking like a big position of need. We know how bad the pass rush was and the defensive line was last year for Green Bay. That seems like a position that needs some upgrades. And then, of course, what we've spent the whole show on already is wide receiver is a position that the Packers need to address in some way, shape, or form. Let's hear from Rob Domofsky, who was not in Indianapolis this week, but talked to several agents who were about the Packers' trajectory in the upcoming free agency.
I did, even though I was not at the combine, I did talk to some agents that have been there and are still there. Two of which who actually met with the Packers, and by meeting with the Packers, that usually means Russ Ball or Goody or John Eric Sullivan or one of the high ranking people, and the agents told me specifically, this is what he said to me, your team is going to be a player in free agency this year. And that's, you know, based on, you know, this agent having players that are going to be free agents. And, you know, I'm probably not giving away too much here, I don't think, without having done, you know, some more thorough reporting on it, but This agent was left with the impression that the Packers are going to be in the cornerback, defensive line, and receiver market. So, I mean, obviously, you're not going to get all three, right? Like, and one name that was mentioned to me, I got my little handy. I have an agent who sends me this chart, and it's the print on it is so small, but he does values for every player who's going to be a free agent. APY averages. He's usually pretty close on. And one guy that I had heard to keep an eye on with the Packers was DJ Reed, who chart list says about.
Yes. Did you hear that, boys? My free agency crush is the name to keep an eye on for Rob Domofsky. We've talked about my worries at corner. Like, I think that is a position we are undervaluing when it comes to how much the Packers need to upgrade this offseason. Defensive end, obviously, in the conversation. We've talked a ton about Davante Adams, now DK Metcalf, and what needs to happen at receiver. We've not talked as much as I think we need to about what the Packers need to do at corner. DJ Reed is viewed as the top corner in the free agency market. Rob Domofsky reporting. Maybe the Packers are a team to watch when it comes to DJ Reed, who I told you weeks and weeks ago was my crush in free agency. So when I heard Rob Domofsky say this morning, I did exactly what I just did. I yelled, yes! I'm very excited to hear that from our friend Rob Domofsky.
I was most excited just in general. The Packers are players 2 years in a row in free agency.
Hello.
We went what felt like at times decades between them being players in free agency. So 2 years in a row. And the targets he named are the exact things I think everybody has pointed at, talked about in the draft. If you go look at all the mock drafts, those are really the three positions mocked the most, with a little offensive lineman sprinkled in there on occasion.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense. Defensive line does leave it general. I think the Packers are going to be interested in literally anybody who can penetrate and get after the quarterback, be it a defensive tackle or defensive end. I think cornerback, I view cornerback as probably the third biggest option there, because we saw them function without Jaire Alexander for so long, and it wasn't like we felt, well, the Packers are really outmatched on the back end. Now, do I think they need to add somebody, be it via free agency or the draft? Absolutely. You need another person there because you are starting to get thin. You really only feel good, put it in quotes, and you can determine how good you feel about two guys. DJ Reed immediately becomes the best corner, immediately becomes an asset, and then you feel even better because you got Keyshawn Nixon, Javon Bullard, and Carrington Valentine, yep. And you go, you guys figure it out over there, just like with Jaire. Yep. Whoever's the best, you play the most, and that's how it goes. And I think that's a really good situation for the Packers. I don't think Keyshawn Nixon should be cornerback one. I think he played at times like a cornerback one.
I agree.
For large parts of the season, but I feel a lot better with him as cornerback two. And I think him and Carrington Valentine competing for that other side, or switching, or moving, be just the flexibility it would provide, because Keyshawn could still play the slot. Javon Bullard could still play the slot. Yeah, Evan Williams can be behind him and do multiple things as well. That's just providing a secondary for the Packers that goes from B to you could start, that's like an A minus. That's maybe an A. That's more of a weapon than it is just, they're fine, we can get by.
So here's the thing. I think this would be the one position where I think the Packers might double dip. Free agency first round of the draft.
Right, because we've talked ourselves into, at least I did, of Eric Stokes on a cheap whatever AJ Dillon type. I'd be fine with it. He's fourth, fifth option, whatever. Yeah. That guy shouldn't see the field a lot anyways.
Yeah, I'm starting to walk back my take on that. I really thought he'd be back. I'm starting to think a change of scenery just makes sense for both sides.
Yeah, it probably does, but if he has no suitors, and he wants $2 million,
if the number is right, I don't think they're closing the door on him. Right. But I think ultimately he'll get more money.
He's
elsewhere.
Not a preferred option, no, especially he's not. After what we heard of the Packers seeking players in free agency.
Right. So I am really intrigued, to see how the Packers do end up approaching this and attack this. But to hear that DJ Reed is a option and a guy that the Packers could be targeting, I'm super intrigued by him.
I wasn't able to track down who the report was from, but I believe I saw it on one of the Packers sites that they also were linked to Charvarius Ward.
Yeah, he's one of the top free agents as well.
The corner from San Francisco, which if you don't end up in, like, the thing with free agency is sometimes teams go crazy and you see a contract and you go, well, I'm glad the Packers didn't do that.
These might be guys where that happens, right? Both of those guys you mentioned.
Because it is an incredibly thin free agency class. There are players to be had and guys that will certainly make the Packers better, but you're not going to be able to pay top dollar for every guy that comes through. It just doesn't make sense. You've got guys on your roster you're hoping to pay soon and guys that are probably overdue. Like, a Zach Tom extension could come down at any minute.
Yeah.
Just because that's the type of player you want long time.
You want to lock him up. And he's deserved it with, entering the final year of his rookie deal. So we will see on that. But really intriguing stuff. All right. We got to address it. We just have to.
What's that?
The Aaron Rodgers news. So it has just come down within the last hour that Matthew Stafford, who was given approval, him and his agent were given, well, more his agent because he legally can't, but his agent was given approval to seek a trade, go discuss with other teams. The Giants, one of those teams that they had discussions with. But Matthew Stafford now seemingly, as it is being reported within the last hour, will take less money to stay in Los Angeles and remain the quarterback of the Rams. So you can go ahead and scratch out the Rams as an option for Aaron Rodgers. But the news within the last 20 minutes from Diana Russini, among other people, the New York Giants interested in the services of 41-year-old quarterback, four-time league MVP Aaron Rodgers. The nice part for him was he wouldn't have to move from his place in New Jersey. I mean, it's the same travel to work, essentially, if he just goes from
Not
the Jets.
Not essentially, literally.
Literally, for game day, at least.
Same building.
I don't think the facilities are the same building.
Like, but the practice facility.
But nonetheless, you're right. For the game day, it would be the same building. So Aaron Rodgers could make the jump from the AFC back to the NFC, as he could go from the Jets to the Giants. Apparently discussions have been had this week in Indianapolis during the NFL scouting combine. Aaron Rodgers could be a New York Giant in 2025, and I imagine that just makes Joshy cackle.
I don't want to start by patting myself on the back, but duh. Of course, the good teams and the teams with hopeful futures and Super Bowl contenders aren't interested in Aaron Rodgers. We saw what played out with the Jets. That was as good of a condemnation of all things Aaron Rodgers. I text this in a group message we have here that I'm almost starting to feel bad because going to play for the Giants is so embarrassing. They are, with Aaron Rodgers, a 5-6 win football team?
I mean, it depends what they do this offseason. Now, I don't know that they'll do a lot because they're not a big destination right now. But Malik Nabers is a good piece offensively.
If he ends up there, draft a ton of Malik Nabers in the first round of you at the end of your first round drafts.
Yeah.
Other than that, they're not a playoff team.
Agreed. I mean, they have two really good teams in their division that are going to make the playoffs, and the Cowboys are still with Aaron Rodgers if he's added to the Giants, definitively better.
Aaron Rodgers said he wasn't going to stick around like Brett Favre for too long. This is them telling you.
This would be the definition of sticking around too long.
They are telling you. The Steelers were apparently supposed to be interested. Where's that conversation gone? You don't talk to the Giants if the Steelers are knocking on your door.
That's correct. I agree. But
just retire, man.
I mean, the thing for Rodgers is, I mean, we know how he operates. He wants to be the star of the show. He wants to be in the room where decisions are being made. That's not going to be the case in Pittsburgh.
No.
But you know where that could be the case? The other team in New York, the Giants.
Hey, if he goes out and further weakens an NFC opponent, have at it.
Yep.
I will be more interested in this version of Rodgers than the Jets, because it will be so disgusting.
For a guy that has to comment on everything said about him, can you think about what New York media is brutal?
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine how ESPN New York and some of the other sports radio stations out there are going to react?
They're
going to
laugh at him.
To Aaron Rodgers flipping teams in the same city. I mean, this is an outrageous report. I fully expected Rodgers. I thought it was the Steelers or the Rams. The Rams were actually the betting favorite as recently as last week. And look, I want Aaron Rodgers in the league in 2025. I think it's good for football. I think it's good for content.
I think it's getting sad.
This is a little sad.
Yeah.
I won't argue with you on that. I won't argue with that.
This is Jahmyr Yager playing way too far into his career, and everyone kind of going, okay, man, have fun.
What a reference.
I guess. That, like,
yeah, that's
this
a
is,
wild
This
reference.
Is Emmitt Smith, Emmitt Smith on the Cardinals.
There you
Emmitt
go. Smith Much the better.
It's just why? Who's this for? What's this proving? How do you... I'm starting to feel bad in a real way. Like, that is somebody making the decision to go to the Giants, who just parted with their two best players and have really no future, like, attainable. The path isn't in front of them. Go ahead.
If the Giants do this, that means they're not going to draft Shedeur Sanders in the first round.
Right.
He's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback then. Like, that's
exactly
what's going to happen here. No, I'm saying because that's the karma for the Giants.
Oh, okay. When they make the
they're
going to
pass
decision.
Up Shedeur
yes.
for Aaron Rodgers at a billion years old. And then Shedeur is going to go on and win multiple Super Bowls because that's the karma for the Giants here. That's exactly what's going to happen with this if he goes to New York. I'm not saying Shedeur will be.
And I had the same reaction. because that's what we thought at first. And it was an appropriate reaction by me and Josh, if we're being honest with one another.
Yes, it absolutely was. But no.
Be it Travis Hunter, be it whoever goes right after their pick when they just, like, just don't do it.
Don't do it.
Just start a podcast. Start an ayahuasca retreat. I'm sure you'd be happy as a clam out there doing that. Like, I don't know, man. How do you show up for a team with a projected win total of 6.5?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
They sent a press conference, the Giants, saying, actually, we're keeping our GM and head coach this time around. When you have to tell people, yeah, actually, we're not firing them.
Despite
what everyone thinks. Like, that is... He's just going to get more people fired.
What does that do to expectations for Giants fans? Do they actually get excited this time around? Because if this was Rodgers pre-Achilles, they're excited.
Oh, they'll get excited.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
So
it's Phantom.
There is, I know for sure, that up above your studio, there is a confirmed Giants fan on our team. And he's not on the content team, but Tim Haggerty is a New York, born and raised. He is a Giants fan. You could go and ask him how he would feel about
this. I will.
So,
I will
send him a message on Teams.
Yeah, he might actually answer.
A statement for us. he's good at that. So let's get a statement from Tim, who known groomsman in Hunter's wedding.
Yes.
So there you go.
I did not know that.
Now you do.
Fun fact. Shout out Tim Haggerty.
All right. Good stuff. Okay. That'll do it for Rodgers conversation unless we get a response from known Giants fan Tim. Giants fan Tim. GFT. But we didn't get to this Wednesday. Let's get to it today. It is Friday, a Friday edition of One Word Wednesday. A Friday edition of One Word Wednesday. Hunter has a list of topics. He will throw them at me. I will give one word. Joshie will occasionally chime in or harass me or maybe both as we work through. And then we will debrief the week that was because I need some debriefing with my two friends, Josh and Hunter. So we will do that in just a moment. But first, it is time for One Word Wednesday on a Friday. Hunter?
All right, the Oscars are on Sunday. Who's your best actor pick? Do you need the list?
I'm just going to guess because as everybody here knows, I don't watch movies. My word is Chalamet.
Okay.
Is he nominated?
He is. For a complete unknown.
For the
unknown.
Bob Dylan biopic?
Yes.
Yeah, a complete unknown. Okay, gotcha. Yep. Yeah, I'll go with Chalamet. I feel like he had a big year.
It's looking like Osa Odighizuwa of the Dallas Cowboys will be staying in Dallas, not then signing with the Packers.
Darn is honestly my word. Darn it. Like, darn. Because, Hunter, you were on this earlier than anybody. You thought he would be a perfect fit for Green Bay, and I really just wanted you to have a win. Despite having a loss as a Cowboys fan, having a win by predicting it. Happy for you. Happy for Cowboys fans. Disappointed for Packers fans, but, you know, maybe Max Crosby's still in the cards for Green Bay. So it is all right. But darn, I really wanted Hunter to take a victory lap.
Steph Curry dropped 56 points against the Magic last night.
Magic. That's the word. Orlando Steph Curry Magic. Is still magical, man.
Orlando Magic. Oh, yeah.
People forget about that song. Great tune.
Number 11, Wisconsin, at number 8, Michigan State, 12:30 on Sunday.
Burner? Is barn burner one word or two? Is that a compound word? Joshy, barn burner?
We'll hyphenate it.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
All right, barn burner is going to be my word. I'm really excited for this game. Michigan State obviously getting a big win earlier in the week over Maryland with that half-court shot. Unbelievable shot by Michigan State. To win that one by 3. They're really good. And by the way, you know what month becomes tomorrow, Hunter?
March. I know the calendar. You know who's Thank you.
What a weird way to phrase that. Do you know what month becomes tomorrow?
What month begins tomorrow is what I meant to say. And who is Mr. March in college basketball?
Not you.
Izzo?
It's Tom Izzo.
Okay.
Yeah, the head coach of Michigan State.
Is there someone else I should be picking here?
No, it's Izzo. So he is. He gets the 11th ranked team in the country on his home floor on March 1st. Don't feel great about it for the Badgers, but they've been playing good basketball. Obviously a bad loss last Saturday to Oregon. Oregon is the city in Wisconsin. Oregon is the state. Barn burner, my word for this one.
Joshy, you got two of them. We haven't had you do this in a while.
I do. The 49ers.
Wait, what's going on right now?
Are fielding trade offers for Brandon Ayuk. Can we say the same word at the same time? Can I take a guess at your word? On count of 3, 2, 1.
I got to think of a word first.
Okay.
Sure, I'm ready.
3, 2, 1. Intriguing.
Yes. Oh. Okay. Intriguing. Yeah, I mean, it is intriguing. But that word's banned. That's why I didn't use it. My word is yes.
Intriguing banned? Forgot it.
Yeah,
it
is.
Long list.
Yeah, you did make a long list. Wait, did you come up with these? Or did Hunter send them to
you? He told me to be ready for some, and I'm ready.
Okay, let's go.
Ready, Freddy. I actually have, he said two. I got three here, so we're going to send a little bit. Myles Garrett is not open to a contract extension with the Cleveland Browns.
Trade now! two words, but do it. Packers, go.
Last one. A couple flying Qatar Airlines.
Where is this
from? Australia to Italy.
I'm already scared.
Spent 4 hours of the flight having to sit next to a woman who had passed away on the flight, and she was just simply covered with a sheet and not moved from the seat.
Bonkers. I mean, that is legitimately crazy. Emergency landing. The woman is dead.
Well, no. They're over the ocean.
Yeah, you keep going. Oh, even if you're over land, you keep going. Keep going. I don't want that flight stopping.
All right. This is a bad question I'm about to ask.
We know what happens when people pass
right.
away.
They poop.
Yeah. Sometimes they have involuntary movements as well.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. They said the couple were not offered to move to some of the open seats on the flight.
There was open seats!
Oh, that's awful.
And the woman, they were unable to remove the woman due to her size, so they weren't able to get her, like, and move her, because they typically move it, like, to different areas.
Wait, apparently. Typically? Does this happen often?
I think it happens more than you realize. Obviously not. It's not common.
What, so people but are just dying mid-fall. How did she die? How did they know she was dead?
Pressure changes, stress. A lot can happen, Strofe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people travel a lot. There's a lot of flights in the air at any given time. So it's just by the nature of living and death that it's bound to happen. And like some people are traveling and knowing they're not well.
But do you think like... did she make a noise and the dude next to her was like, uh-oh, I'm going to get flight attendant?
I would imagine there were some indications.
I need to know more. Like, I need more on this story.
So the story I read didn't focus on how it happened. It focused more on the, you're kind of SOL.
Wow. And there was open seats on the flight.
In a statement, they said, first and foremost, our thoughts are with the family of the passenger who sadly passed away.
Good PR
work.
We
apologize for any inconvenience or distress this incident may have caused, and in the process of contacting passengers in line with our policies and procedure.
I mean, that's PR. I mean, that's just
it said
public.
Nothing.
Yeah, it said nothing. Other than apologies.
It feels incumbent on you to move the people.
Yeah, I'm blown away by the story. Wow, that is a good one. Is that all we have for one word?
That's all Joshy has. Travis Kelce said that he's coming back.
Predictable. He wasn't going out on a Super Bowl loss.
The Wisconsin Timber Rattlers announced that they will be the frozen pizzas for a game this summer.
Branding. I mean, they've done the what were they in the past again?
The Utter
they did
Tuggers.
The cow themed jerseys. Yeah, the Utter Tuggers. Now they're going to be the frozen pizzas. I'm sure they've done a cheese curd version of this at some point. Branding is important, especially in minor league baseball, to get people in the door. Respect to them in Appleton. This is a really good promo by them. Well done.
And then one last one. I need your best picture winner. You can't pick a complete unknown since that seems to be the only one you know. So I'm going to list off the movie titles and you have to pick which one will be best picture.
Don't do it. Don't do it. I think I got it. You don't need to do it. I think I got it. Wicked.
I would be blown away if Wicked wins. But okay.
Really? I thought it was great.
It was great, but compared to some of the other ones that were kind of basically made just to try and win an award, I don't know if it'll do it. Dune Part 2 should, but it won't. Because they don't like science fiction.
We've got breaking news.
Serious breaking news?
To Mr. Relevant.
All right, hit me.
Timothy Haggerty chimes in. 100% against it. I don't mind the bridge QB idea at all, but I don't want the drama. You have to learn from the team across the hall.
It's a good take by Tim.
That's the right take to have.
Yep. GFT, Giants fan Tim. Yeah. Good take by GFT. If Rodgers ends up with the Giants, I never want GFT on the show. I want GFT's team's message on the shows all the time, though.
Uh-huh.
I want you to live, like, chat him like he's a robot.
Yeah, GFT, weekly Giants updates. We could even run it through ChatGPT, give him a robotic voice.
Yeah, I love that with GFT. This is a great idea. Just give GFT a robotic voice. Giants fan Tim GFT.
I would love to know if that is consensus or if there's going to be a 50-50 split. Because people watch Aaron Rodgers long enough. I still see it on Twitter fairly often. Like, this guy ain't done or this guy still got it. And they show like...
I think he's still got it. I'm part of that group,
that's
though.
That's crazy. Got what?
Okay. Now, again, remember who you're listening to, right? This is the man who ran a three-cone drill and went viral on the internet this week.
Right. Like, do I believe he physically can go out there and complete the tasks? Yes. Do I think he takes your team and makes it better? No. I think he takes your team and makes it what it is.
Yeah.
He's not going to make you worse, I don't think.
Not significantly.
But I don't think there's an added win.
Does he make you significantly better? Probably not.
No.
I mean, he's probably middle of the road right now, which is fine.
Bottom.
But maybe he has some magic left. That's why I want to see him next year.
How's their pass blocking there? I didn't pay much attention to the Giants.
I don't know.
Old boy can't move like he used to.
No, he cannot. I mean, he was sacked 40 times last year.
It might be 50.
Yeah, it might. It might be. All right. Good stuff from GFT. All right. Everybody, can we just take one big deep breath together? One, two, three. Well done, Joshy. Well done. We've had a week. And by we, I mean I have had a week. So obviously on Wednesday's show, we ran through the combine. We showed you the footage of my draft combine attempts, which included a broad jump, a vertical jump, a 40-yard dash. I did not participate in the bench press. I did a 20-yard shuttle drill. And, of course, the three-cone, which has now been seen by over 500,000 people, 500,000 people on Twitter.
I said break contain. I was right.
It totally broke contain. Because when we did the show on Wednesday, it was about 20,000. And I said, uh-oh. I mean, it's just got posted. This is not going to be great. So for those of you that somehow have not seen it, Hunter, do you have the video of the three-cone drill that you could throw up on the screen on YouTube?
I mean, I do, but I have some mean tweets on top of it. I was going to have a little bit of fun with the video.
Okay.
Give me a second here.
So, we're going to get to mean tweets. I will read some of the tweets. I mean, there's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things, maybe even thousands at this point, of things said about me that I have read some of. We will read some of it. So here's the video on YouTube right now of me running the three cone. It's bad. I mean, we can be honest with one another. It is the most unathletic showing possible by me. I believe I'm better than this. Proof will show you otherwise. Maybe I'm not better than this at all. So we are going to get to
some... Proof is in the proverbial pudding.
Yeah, it sure is on that one. So, Hunter, I believe you have some tweets that you would like me to read for the first time and react to, as Twitter has not been very nice to me.
Well, do you want to start with that, or do you want to see what your own teammates said about you?
I want to start with the tweets, and then we'll get to the teammates.
Okay. So we'll go with the tweets here. We got this one from Wes Hodkowitz. It's the pitter-pattering of the feet for me.
Yeah. Oh, so Hunter is reading the mean tweets.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want me to read them out loud, or do you want to read them?
I would prefer to read the tweets.
Okay,
that's
read
how
them.
Mean tweets
Go
is
ahead.
Done. Have you never seen mean tweets before?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, Wes Hodkowitz, who is a friend of mine, works for Packers.com, was with the Green Bay Press Gazette prior to that, was very nice to me when I was coming up. Yeah, pitter-pattering. That is a word I believe Josh used on Wednesday's show.
Before I ever seen that tweet, pitter-patter is the best way to describe what your feet are doing.
Michael on Twitter, in doing his best Mel Kiper impression. He's got a high motor. He's a great locker room guy. Doesn't have great bend or any at all. He wills his way to be below average. Well done by Michael.
That's a compliment, good. Honestly.
Yeah, that's not half bad, actually. It's not half bad. LL Cool Whip on YouTube just said, Strove, at the very least, we could respect the honesty and self-awareness. Appreciate that. Brian on Twitter, if Pick Me Last at Recess was a person.
See, as I was reading, there were some comments that were just plain mean, but most of them were in fun jest.
Yes, and I appreciate that because I did get a few that were not fun.
Yeah.
But I was like, damn.
But
like,
largely, it was people being funny.
Yes, and that one was one of them. There was another one on the 40-yard dash video from Fantasy Nerd Boy. I mean, well, come on. You can't
yeah,
really.
It's a tough one.
If you call yourself that, you can't make fun of me. Imagine living such a safe life that you're a grown human and don't know how to run. You know, as we've talked about this week, I've always thought I knew how to run. I ran cross country in high school. I've never seen myself run. It's really bad. Like, I need to relearn how to run.
I've had many conversations about this. Some of them with the highest highs of the company, VPs, etc. And one question was postulated to me was, Do you think his friends ever told him he ran funny, or they just avoided it because they felt bad?
I think it's the latter. Or maybe this has changed in, you know, because
you did report you talked to somebody you played sports with, and they said you weren't bad on
yeah,
athletic.
Yeah, one of my good friends from high school who was the point guard of our basketball
there's
team.
There's been a degradation.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I don't work out regularly. I play pickleball, but like, that's the extent of my working out. You know, from COVID on, I really haven't done a ton of physical activity. So maybe I'm just like, maybe my bones are just melting. I don't really know what the case is there.
So your ligaments are tied too tight? I don't know how to really explain it.
What an idea that is. Jack Mack of Barstool Sports chimes in. Thought this was Josh Rosen, which I have been compared. So in that, I believe it was the same draft class. They might have been a year separation. I've always been compared to a lookalike of Johnny Manziel and Josh Rosen. Those were the two lookalikes I always got, you know, growing up and in college. I've gotten the Josh Rosen comparison 100 times. So I thought this was funny from Jack Mack. Good to know it's still true. Somebody said to me yesterday, Josh Rosen's a handsome guy. Like that's really not that mean, you know?
Exactly. Rosen's lived a good life. He's made a lot of money.
Hasn't played in the league in a long time, though.
Remember the famous picture of him in a hot tub in, like, a dorm room?
Yes, I do.
All-time Josh Rosen moment.
That's true. I mean, he didn't have a lot in the league, so.
Rich kid, too. I believe he grew up rich and just lived a nice life.
Lived a nice life, indeed. So, yes, I am not Josh Rosen anymore, Hunter.
No, that's what I had. Okay. It got to a point where I realized, I'm like, I'm just kind of piling on here. So I'm like, maybe I should stop at those five. After that, I'm a bad friend.
If you have listened to ESPN Wisconsin at all, either Wednesday or Thursday, this was the main topic. I mean, it's so bad. My athletic ability is so bad that it inspired over 24 hours straight of content on ESPN Wisconsin.
And everything I said about this is going to be career-defining, this is going to be in group chats, this is going to be shared far and wide, has borne out to be, I think, even more. I thought we were going to taper out around 200,000 views. Smashed it.
I don't even think we're tapering out yet as we go. I mean, we're closing in on the 600,000 view mark, three times that.
It is a must-watch. It is one of one. It is one of those things that you see it and you go, everybody needs to see this. And I didn't realize that in the moment, but the moment I saw the video is when I went, oh no, this one's going to have some legs.
Well, I have done the work for you in case you have missed any of the commentary on ESPN Wisconsin. Here is some of the best and worst things said about me over the course of the last 48 hours on ESPN Wisconsin.
If our stock as a company, just Milwaukee, was trading at $28 a share yesterday, after that video, it's down to $6.
I don't know if I've ever seen someone skinny enough, so skinny, the athleticism, the lack of athleticism there is daunting.
It's a car wreck. Like, it's so horrific, but I can't look away. I watched this video 1,000 times yesterday.
It's not even form. Look at his body. It looks like Pinocchio in Shrek. I'm not a puppet. I'm a real boy.
He looks like he needed a foam roller or something. He looks a little... Nah, he's got some work to do. I see the potential, though. He can get there.
I would take 8 interceptions in one game, which I actually threw, over that video today, every day of the week. That was brutal.
What does your girlfriend think of this? Imagine if her father sees this.
He can't possibly give you his daughter's hand after seeing it. Well, no.
There you go. The best of roasting Stroph over the course of the last 48 or so hours on ESPN Wisconsin.
The best to me has been by far Brad Nortman, who is just a nice, sweet man.
The nicest guy in the world.
Yes.
But he has destroyed me over this.
When I believe it was yesterday, you said you desired to run a half marathon, and he looked at you with the most serious look in his eye and said, "That would truly be a miracle."
I mean, it is just, what Joshy said is it is career defining. I legitimately didn't know how to react at one point. Like, last night, I had a few drinks. I sat down on the couch, and I go, what the hell happened the last 2 days?
Yeah.
It was a freaking blur, man. I mean, wow. So, anyway, really appreciative of all my teammates at ESPN Wisconsin, Good Karma Brands. I appreciate everybody for their kind words.
Well, go I ahead, do want to at least... So, I've got two things here. I'm going to start with the slightly negative on this, and I'm sorry to be a little bit of a downer. Earlier this week, was having a tough week as you were going through this. Family had to put our dog down. These videos, though, helped me get through it. So thank you. It genuinely, like, every time I watched, I was cackling. So,
well, I appreciate you saying that, and obviously sorry to hear that. But the thing here is, Hunter, you know me, I'm a positive guy.
Yep.
If I have to take a positive spin on this, I think I've made 600,000 people feel good about themselves.
Yes.
And say, at least I'm not that guy.
Exactly.
Yes. And the people who are able to feel, so the 95% that were just able to laugh at it, there were 5% where I could tell they kind of felt bad. I do have to give you credit, because if that would have been me, you would have had to have waterboarded this video out of me. So for you being willing and able to put yourself out there that way, I got to give you credit for that, because I would have spiked the phone that contained the footage. I would have microwaved it. I would have done all the things. I would have found a way into the iCloud it got saved into, because I would not have wanted people to see that. That I've watched you round that cone hundreds of times.
You know what's funny? It's unbelievable how many people have told me that.
Yeah.
I've watched this video 200 times.
Uh-huh. Every time, because I retweeted it, and then I like am tagged in it. Every time a new notification pops up, I just flick it on, give it a run, and then go, all right, I'm good.
Crazy.
The other thing I was going to say was Thursday I was on the Damn Sports Show again. So, of course, Corey and Wally had to ask me questions about this. And they asked me to power rank a couple of different producers and how I thought that you would stack up against them. And unfortunately, I did put you dead last. But they were shocked by that. And they literally said people are being too mean to you. So Corey and Wally, they're some real ones. So you've got Believers. Those two in your corner, at least. So
yeah,
I
talked to Corey. I talked to Corey yesterday. So in our company, we have a thing called Karma Connects, which essentially puts you with
it's a mentorship.
Yeah, right. It puts you with people in other markets. And Corey happens to be one of mine. We're talking about this, and he was like, dude, you got to do this again in 3 months. Like, you can shave a full second off every drill. You could add a foot to your broad jump. Like, he's pumping my tires, man. He's like, you can do so much better than what you did on Wednesday. And I said, Corey, I appreciate it, but that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you have it. All right. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. It's time now for What We Learned. I teased it a bit earlier, but I am blown away by this story. So, we got beef in the NFL insider game, and it is awesome. Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, and Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports allegedly getting into it at the NFL Draft Combine, but not at the Combine, at a Starbucks at a local hotel at the Combine in Indianapolis. Jordan Schultz apparently approached Ian Rappaport, said, we need to talk. Rappaport saying, we don't need to talk. And then I believe the word was accosted. Jordan Schultz accosted, yes. Verbally accosted. Ian Rappaport, we don't know what was said, but then I guess NFL security is looking into it, into the incident between these two reporters at the Starbucks. The ultimate irony of this story is that it was at a Starbucks. Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks, is Jordan Schultz's father. So, yeah. I mean, Jordan Schultz effectively grew up in Starbucks, and for this to happen there is just very funny.
Both people in this situation, and it's rare that it happens, are losers.
Yes,
both
100%.
Of them lose out because Ian Rappaport doing the bidding of agents, which is what he did by refuting Jordan Schultz's report that it just so happened Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford ran into each other, happenstance, at this resort skiing. Now, we know already that the Rams did grant Matthew Stafford the ability to go seek a trade. So them planning a meeting is not illegal. There is nothing nefarious to that. They can meet wherever they'd like. They could meet on the moon if they wanted to. That's up to them. So to say that those two just happened to run into each other. Ski resort. We're hitting the slopes. It just so happened the Brady family and the Stafford family chose the same exact weekend to and same exact place to go to a ski resort. That's obviously not true. And we could tell what we know what you're doing, Ian. On the other hand, to be so full of yourself, you're going to confront somebody and then scream at them in public about the reporting game. Like, most of us here were able to read the tea leaves. The refutation of they met each other, we all knew what was happening there.
Mm-hmm.
We knew Ian was speaking for that. But to go to the point of where you're screaming and causing NFL security to be notified, also, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't. That's totally inappropriate. You're... I don't know how people don't live this way who are billionaires. At the end of the day, you're the son of a billionaire and you'll be worth $1 billion when it's all said and done. Life ain't that bad.
No, you'll be all right, brother.
You'll live.
Right. You'll be all right.
You'll live.
All right. Hunter, you got anything?
Yeah, why not? Postseason basketball starts. I'm on the call for some girls basketball this weekend. So
oh, yeah. I'm going to promote that. Comment on the fight.
Oh, no, I don't really care about that. They're losers. 6:30 tonight, Delvin Darien at Monona Grove, girls regional semifinals. And then Saturday,
Fantastic. The
winner will have a regional final on the ESPN Madison YouTube. So.
All right. I'll have a good couple of calls. Hunter learned he's calling basketball tonight. That's very good.
Interesting.
Interesting. Hunter's doing work. What a fascinating thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually working. It's crazy.
It is. For the Jesse Nelson School of Producers. That will do it for us today. Appreciate everybody chiming in all week and all the laughs we have shared over my lack of ability to run in a circle. What a wild week. Joshy, thank you. Hunter, thank you. We're back with you Monday beginning at 12:30 Central, ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. And Mr. Relevant, available 3 times a week, actually more than that. Working on some special stuff, too, that I will get you in the loop on here in the next couple of weeks, which you can find in the Mr. Relevant podcast feed, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Mr. Relevant will be the first result that pops up. Always appreciate you subscribing, rating 4 or 5 stars, whatever you want to do, wherever you get your podcast. We'll talk to you Monday. Peace!